Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session.
Welcome to the Selling the Couch podcast, where our goal is to help you achieve your counseling private practice dreams. And now, the man who once dunked a football on a 10-foot goal and then got rejected when he tried it with a basketball, psychologist and podcaster Melvin Varghese.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Thank you so much for joining me for another session of the Selling the Couch podcast. My guest today is Carrie Nola, and Carrie and I are going to be talking about all things related to insurance. Well, it's not that boring, but we're going to be talking about how to build a private practice that is based on private pay and some of the different aspects that go into that. So the first portion of the interview is really about more of the psychological aspects of even asking clients, or even when a new client calls you, how to tell them that you are doing private pay. And then we get down into the more nitty-gritty things, you know, with regard to insurance and how you can actually make and create a private practice that does not rely on insurance. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. So here's my conversation with Carrie Nola. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Melvin. It's a joy to be here today. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward as well. Tell us a little bit about you and about how you help therapists and who are in private practice.
Absolutely. Well, I am a licensed psychotherapist and in a clinical practice and healing center here in Central Florida. And what I found was that I had such a passion for supporting other healers in growing and designing the practices that they wanted. I feel like it's a skill that we don't often get in school. We learn so much about supporting our clients and what that looks like and how to do it well. But then when we think of the settings with which we want to use those skills in, we're a little bit limited in terms of the education of what it looks like to be an entrepreneur in our field. And that's what led me to, it started real local in my own community. And once I realized it was working so well for them, I took it online, and now I help therapists and healers all over the world in gaining the confidence, the clarity, and the skills they need to grow their businesses.
Yeah, that's so cool. You know, I absolutely agree with you. I think that business skill and how to run a private practice, I think that's something a lot of clinicians don't learn about. And it's so neat you're providing this service
to
everyone. Thank
you. It's a joy to wake up every day and see my calendar full of therapists who want to do this work and not only do it clinically well, but feel confident in the business end too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we picked a great topic today. And so we're going to be talking today about how to actually build a private practice without relying on insurance. And I thought, you know, Carrie's like the perfect person to talk about this. So I think I'm going to just ask the obvious question. In 2015, is it actually possible to build a private practice without relying on insurance?
Absolutely. Melvin, it's not only possible, it is probable and necessary for a lot of people. I think we have never been freer to create the practice exactly as we want it. And if 2015 is the year that you would like to consider being managed carefree in your practice, then it's absolutely an option that you can very viably consider.
That's very encouraging to hear that. You know, what are some of the main reasons why someone might actually want to go insurance free?
Sure. Well, there's many of them. And I want to be really clear off the bat that I don't believe that insurance managed care is a bad thing. I think we just need to open up to remembering that it's our right to choose the way that we want to do business. And so I just like to be clear about that off the bat. I'm not bashing insurance. I'm not bashing private pay. I'm team follow your own heart and know that whichever way you choose is possible for you to make it work. So some things about insurance and why I often talk about and introducing this freedom to you in your practice is that insurance billing leaves you relying on a third party for running your practice. You're going to be following policies and procedures. You're going to be signing contracts and agreements that are going to require you to run your practice in a very certain way. So what this might look like is, say a client comes in and they want to be seen as a couple, but the best treatment plan is really to see them as an individual. And what's this all going to mean for insurance billing? A lot of insurances don't cover couples work. So now we're in the position of an ethical situation. Am I going to bill the insurance for a code for an individual, even though I'm treating them as a couple? Or am I going to tell them, I'm sorry, I can't take your insurance. It doesn't cover this service. There's a lot of freedom that comes with running our business in a private, cash kind of way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think what I hear you saying is that a couple of things. One is that it's very important to leave ourselves open to the possibility that we don't have to be in do you know be in insurance. But ultimately, I think you're also saying you have to figure out what works well for you.
Yes, definitely.
When you first start out in, or even just thinking about a private practice, how do you even get started with this whole private pay and just being out of off of insurance?
Absolutely. Well, I'll say that I would like to share a bit of my own story. So I started my private practice right out of graduate school. It was something that wasn't very common in my town at the time, about a decade ago. And it was just something that was really on my heart and soul. I knew that I wanted to do practice the way that I wanted to do it. I wanted to work with certain client populations. And I just said, why not start that right out of the gate? Having practiced in agencies and different things during my internship and even prior to graduate school, I knew that this was for me. So the cool thing that happened for me is that I wasn't allowed to take insurance as a registered intern in my state. So it opened me up to, there was no plan B. There was run a private pay practice for at least 2 years, or I'm going to have to go work for an agency, which for me, it just wasn't an option I was willing to put on the table because it didn't resonate with how I wanted to do the work in the world that I'm here to do. So in terms of starting out, I think the first and most important thing is clarity. Are you willing to align yourself with the mentality that is required to run a cash pay practice and to set your fees, to get really comfortable with your money story and your fears around, to accept an exchange of energy in the form of payment for the services that you're providing? I think one of the biggest differences between private practice and agency work is that we are directly collecting payment for our services, and it invites all of our issues around worthiness and inadequacy and competence right to the surface for our processing. And can you relate to that, Melvin? I mean, I feel like that is huge.
Oh, absolutely. I think I remember one of the most intimidating things was just asking for money from a client, you know? And I think you're absolutely right. Like, if there's like one encounter in therapy that brings up about all of those insecurities,
Yes,
it's that
for sure.
exchange.
So I think being mindful upfront about the inner work that will likely need to be done if you're going to practice this way is also really important, because I think sometimes we try to build a practice without doing the inner work. And a lot of my model of working with healers is about building our practices from the inside out. And that starts with our mindset. It starts with acknowledging our fears. It starts with dancing with all the stories we have about how we can or can't do this kind of work in the world. And there are the traditional model is one that relies on managed care, but it's not necessarily the only model. So starting out, absolutely looking at that inner piece is going to be crucial. And then the second piece is around the marketing plan that's going to help you to draw in clients. Because if you're not taking insurance, the insurance companies essentially market for you, right? Because they're generating and driving traffic to your practice from their customers that are on their insurance plan. So right. We then have to go out and find our own people. So where are your ideal clients hanging out, and how can you communicate with them about what you have to offer? So that might be online therapist directories, that may be organizations, agencies, other therapists who have different specialties than you do. Maybe that is psychiatrists or primary care practitioners. We've got to think about who our ideal clients are and where they're spending time. And I think that's another piece of this puzzle, is try to be a general practitioner where we're servicing everybody. That makes marketing very, very challenging, because when we try to talk to everyone, we really end up talking to no one. And when people come to our websites or they look at our online profiles, they don't feel seen and heard, because there's this really general statement that we try to use to draw them in rather than saying something really specific. So let's say, you know, you want to work with single parents, then you need to talk to them on the front page of your website or on your directory. So they're like, wow, that's who knows what I've got going on and who can help me solve this problem I'm experiencing.
Yeah, as you're talking about this, this reminds me of a phrase that I heard, which is, it's something like the riches are in the niches. And I think that's what you're saying, right? Like, when you build your private practice, it's, you have to try to identify what the need is in the community that you're serving. And then also, you know, and then try to niche down. If you try to go too general, then it's too broad.
And there's a big fear, and I want to speak to it now, because I'm sure as you're listening to us, you might be thinking, but wait, I'm just new. I don't want to rule anybody out. I want to help anybody that can come. I hear that fear, and I know that it can feel counterintuitive as we talk about niching down and specializing. But what I can tell you is, you want a flow of your ideal client, and those other general mental health issues will continue to trickle into your practice. And that's okay. We're not talking about turning people away. We're talking about making sure that we are specifically speaking to the people that you want, so that they can follow through on the referrals and actually call you and get into your office.
Yeah, no, I like that too, because I think the more specific you get, the more energy that you can spend toward marketing to that specific population, right? As opposed to trying to market to multiple populations or multiple groups of people, I think, which then is just, I feel like,
yes, it's so overwhelming to imagine that we have to speak to every single person on the planet. So I say, think of that one client in your internship or your career at any point where you just felt like you got them. You really loved sitting across from them. You felt like it was a flow of creativity and clarity when you supported them, and then begin speaking to that person in your marketing. Think of what's keeping them up at night and what their greatest fear is in terms of their struggle right now. And when you speak to that in your marketing, you end up having a full practice in no time at all. I think that's the biggest issue with therapists, is we don't learn how to speak to our ideal clients and lets them in and lets them know that we have what they want. And that really is the psychology of selling our products and services, is understanding who we're serving.
Right. No, absolutely. You said something earlier, which I thought was really interesting. How does one actually go about changing that mindset, right? Because I think what you said earlier is absolutely right. When someone's just jumping into private practice, the fear of, I got to get my first client, that's there, you know? So how do you actually go about changing that mindset? And in a way, I think being able to hold that fear and still act.
Yeah. And I love the way you put that, Melvin. That's my perspective as well. How do we hold the fear and still take inspired action? Because I think a lot of times what we try to do is bulldoze through the fear or ignore it or pretend it's not there or shame it. And the reality is that private practice is challenging and work is scary. And so it is about holding that fear. And step one in that, just like we tell our clients, is acknowledgement. I'm really scared. I don't know if this can work. I don't know if I trust myself to really take this step. And just in acknowledging that, we start to build a relationship with our fear. One of my favorite questions to ask myself when I'm scared is, what does that fear need? In order to move forward, what does that part of me need? And a lot of times it's comfort, it's support, it's just me hearing it and being present with it. And then in that space, it kind of creates a little bit more room for me to be able to move forward. And it's a constant relationship. It's not, I'm scared at the beginning and I'm not scared anymore. I've been doing this for 10 years and I'm scared every time I take a new step or even an old step. Sometimes fear resurfaces and it's a human part of our process.
I'm glad you said it that way because I think that is so true. Like even as I'm thinking about, you know, creating this podcast, right? I have so much fear and anxiety about how this is going to work out and learning all these new things. And I love that you said that because no matter how seasoned you are, that fear, I think in a way, I think it's always kind of a companion that we have.
Yes.
And I think part of our growth is really making peace with its presence. So now, you know, as individuals start to make sense out of that fear and start to change their mindset, how do they actually go into the more practical things? So I think the first question is, how do they determine how much to actually charge?
Yeah, the cool thing about this is you do have some flexibility and freedom here as well. I always say never charge more than you have been willing to pay. I do believe there is an energy of congruence around money in our practices. And oftentimes I see people trying to charge something that they haven't been willing to invest. And it really creates this incongruence in the financial piece of our practice. And we find that we can't really draw in the clients that are willing to pay something that we haven't been willing to pay. So be mindful of that. If you have wanted to be taking the shortcuts and budget strategies in your own healing, then you're probably going to draw those clients into you, which is perfectly fine. It's not a judgment. It's just a reality, and we want to honor that. And so I say don't force yourself to compete with everybody else in the field or to raise the bar on your fees. Start with where you're comfortable. Imagine yourself answering the phone and somebody's ready to book and they say, but I just need to know how much it costs. And then play with a couple of different fees. Now you're going to find your general range by going on to some of the online therapist directories and doing a search for your zip code and finding out the range of people with your similar credentials and what they seem to be charging. And then imagine yourself charging some of those things and notice what your body says as you throw around some of those fees. And most importantly, can you say that fee and then pause before you start inviting a sliding scale or lowering yourself or, you know, freaking out that the person is not going to be willing to pay it?
Right. So in other words, can you say that fee and be comfortable?
Yes. Or can you be willing to pause in the uncomfortability, because sometimes it's not always comfortable, but is it so anxiety provoking that you're crawling out of your skin and selling yourself out right up? Well, or I could do something less, or, you know, how many times have I done that in my own practice? Yes, I've absolutely been there. So meet yourself with compassion at the fee that resonates with you, that you could imagine receiving, and know that you can change your fees whenever you want, as long as you're communicating that and your informed consent. This is the other thing I invite you to do is write it up in your informed consent that you revisit your fee structure. I say twice a year. That way it gives me the flexibility as I become more comfortable, as I gain more experience, more skills, and I adjust my fees. It gives me the flexibility and freedom to do that. I can't tell you how many therapists feel locked into their fee because they never gave themselves that room and their informed consent and had that conversation with clients.
Your recommendation is to do it. To at least go through that process twice a year.
Yeah, and whether or not you change it is completely up to you, but at least right. You have given yourself that freedom and to not catch your clients off guard about all of a sudden raising your fees. It was like, no, remember we discussed that up front. It's right here in my policies, and you can give your, and I usually say I'll give you 6 weeks notice in writing if I were to adjust my fees. And then you've got that all laid out and the boundaries and understanding of it is mutual from the get-go.
Okay, nice. You know, sometimes I've heard about this phrase like a super bill. Can you explain that? And, you know, I guess I'm still a little confused on what that is and how that relates to the whole, you know, going without insurance.
Absolutely. So a super bill is basically a receipt for the services that you have provided that your clients have paid out of pocket for. That includes their diagnosis and the code for the type of session that you provided, whether that be individual, couples, an hour, a half hour, whether it's an intake assessment. There's all the coding for that, which you can easily look up on the internet. And they're universal for every state as well. And you put that information on this super bill, and the client can submit it to their insurance provider to see if they can get reimbursed for out-of-network benefits, which some plans have and some don't. So I always use the disclaimer, I don't know what your insurance company will provide for you or if they'll reimburse any of the services you've received here, but I'll gladly provide you with this receipt, and we call it a super bill, and you can submit it if you wish.
Okay, so that's another option if someone wants to use their insurance to get reimbursed later.
Exactly. And the other thing I'll say at this note is you can also become an out-of-network provider with insurances, and you can bill them directly without having to contract as one of their panel members. Now, the freedom in this is beautiful because you're not having to negotiate your rate less than what it would normally be. You're able to take clients from that insurance company when you want. And a great way to do this is to look at some of the larger corporations that may be in your city. So for example, I'm in Central Florida. So we've got Disney here. We have some very large engineering firms. And if you look, or also school systems are a great place to look and find out what insurance companies are being used within those organizations. And you can become an out-of-network provider. So you know that there's a lot of people in your town that are contracted with those insurance companies, and you can bill out-of-network for those. And every company does that a little bit differently, but you can call the companies and educate yourself about their process for billing out-of-network. And then you can charge your full rate and often likely get reimbursed at your full rate.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So that's definitely another option. So in a way, in essence, what you're saying is you could have a private practice where you're doing non-insurance based, but then you could also do this out of network with certain insurance carriers.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
And it can be very abundant. And it's much different because you still have that freedom and flexibility where you don't have to do business with them if you don't want to, but you can if it's resonating.
Right. So you have that flexibility and you get to decide.
Yes. Because once you panel with them, you're agreeing to do services at the rate at which they have set. And generally that's going to be anywhere from $60 a session, could be lower. And it can range, you know, up to 100 or maybe a little bit more depending on your credentials, your experience, and the area of which you practice in, and also the code for the types of sessions that you're doing. But why not get your full rate on?
Well, we are just about out of time. I felt like this conversation went so quickly.
It sure did. There's so much to talk about. So I have a feeling we gave a lot of really powerful nuggets today for people to begin applying.
Carrie, thank you so much for coming on the show. I just felt like this conversation, the whole idea of being out of network and being able to do that, you know, those are things that I hadn't even realized. So
wonderful. Well, I'm glad that they're helpful, and I wish everybody so well as you make the decisions in doing your practice the way that it resonates with you, and knowing that you're able to set that up exactly as you want, with insurance or without.
Carrie, you had said there was this awesome resource that was on your website that you wanted to share with the audience, and I'll link to that definitely in the show notes.
A free audio gift that I would love for you all to come over and check out. It's my 3 marketing secrets for how I kept my phone ringing and clients filling my office for a decade.
I love that title, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. It's you know, part of that marketing language, but it is true. I share the top 3 ways that I've done that. And if it's resonating with you to check that out, my website is carrienola.com. And this is, I believe, /freebie. I don't have it sitting in front of me, Melvin, but I know you're going to link to it. So,
yeah, it's /freebie.
Perfect. Perfect. And I've got a blog where I do weekly practice building tip videos, and there's other resources and free webinars and live events. So however I can support you, please come over and visit.
Awesome. Carrie, thank you again for coming on this episode. And thank you so much for answering all of these questions relating to insurance.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Melvin.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Carrie Nola. There were so many things that I learned in that episode pertaining to insurance. For example, I never quite understood the difference between the super bill and exactly what that was, and I think Carrie explained it really well. And the other thing is, I never realized about out of network. I'd often heard that term, but I didn't actually know how it applied pertaining to a private practice. My hope with this episode was that it just gives you some other options, especially if you are thinking about the private pay route, and especially gives you some options thinking about how you might be able to incorporate the insurance element in, and especially if clients do want to go through their insurance. I have the full transcript of Carrie's interview as well as show notes and any of the resources that she's mentioned at sellingthecouch.com/session4. Thank you again, everyone, and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.